This is 90.9 WBUR. I'm Bob Oakes. 8 years after passage of a landmark law that opened Massachusetts for casino gambling, the casinos are now all open. The first full casino opened in Springfield a year ago, followed this year by the Boston area casino, that's Encore Boston, in Everett. WBUR's Callum Borchers has covered gambling over the past year and joins us now. Hi, Cal.
Hi, Bob.
Wynn Resorts paid $2.5 billion to build that casino in Everett, but it scrubbed the Wynn name from the building and called it Encore after the scandal involving the company founder Steve Wynn. And there was some question about whether the company would be allowed to keep its state gambling license or whether it even wanted to. Remind us about all that and how the saga played out.
Yeah, what a saga it was. So investigators for the Massachusetts Gaming Commission said in the spring that the company had mishandled sexual misconduct allegations against Steve Wynn and then concealed those allegations from state regulators. The Gaming Commission held public hearings as it considered revoking Wynn Resorts' license as punishment. CEO Matt Maddox argued at that time that Wynn Resorts deserved to keep the license because it had cleaned house and changed its corporate culture.
No matter who the CEO is of Wynn Resorts or who the chairman is, that would never happen again. We were going to transform ourselves from a founder-led company that was about a man into a progressive company that's about the 25,000 people.
25,000 people being the rough tally of Wynn Resorts employees around the world, Bob. The company reminded regulators that stripping its license could jeopardize more than 5,000 jobs here in Massachusetts. The commission ultimately fined Wynn Resorts $35 million and let it keep the license.
But then we also learned, Cal, that Wynn Resorts was thinking about selling the casino, even as it appeared to be fighting hard to hold on to that license.
That's right. Shortly after getting a favorable ruling from the Gaming Commission, Wynn Resorts acknowledged it had been in talks with MGM Resorts for several weeks. Naturally, this made officials in Everett wonder whether Wynn was really committed to the Encore project. But Wynn and MGM broke off negotiations a few days later, and after a lot of drama, Bob, the casino opened as scheduled in June.
And how's business been at Encore since it opened in June?
Well, we recently saw the first full quarterly financial report for Encore. Gross gaming revenue was about $150 million. On its face, that's a lot of money, and it's easy to see why gamblers, especially the high rollers, would want to go there. It's really a decadent place, Bob. It's different from other New England casinos. We're talking $68 lobster rolls with edible gold leaf, super fancy decor. I took a tour with the Encore president, Brian Gulbrants, and this is how he describes the guest experience.
Before you sneeze, we'll have the tissue ready for you. That's the level of expectation that our customers have, and we deliver.
But it is still early at Encore. In the big picture, the MGM Casino Springfield has been open for more than a year now, and there's also the slot parlor at Plain Ridge Park Casino. So how's the state casino industry faring overall in these early stages, Cal?
Well, you know, gambling experts said that one reason MGM might have been interested in buying Encore is that the casino it already has in Springfield has fallen short of its goals. In fact, it missed its first-year projection by more than $100 million, Bob. MGM Springfield president Mike Mathis told New England Public Radio that snagging customers from the more established casinos in Connecticut is proving harder than the company expected.
So I think we may have underestimated that level of loyalty and what it would take for those customers to give us a shot.
And as for the slot parlor in Plain Ridge Park, Bob, revenue there has been trending downward since March.
So the big picture, Cal, is that the casinos aren't generating as much tax money as lawmakers had hoped, but it's a different story for the state lottery.
Yeah, the state lottery set a record in the 2019 fiscal year with $5.5 billion in revenue. Now, the lottery pays out much of that money in prizes, but the profit was still more than $1 billion, which goes to cities and towns as unrestricted local aid. You might think, given those great numbers, that the lottery's executive director, Michael Sweeney, would be riding high. And yet he's worried.
What I like to remind people is the night before the Titanic hit the iceberg, it was setting a new record for crossing the Atlantic Ocean. And that's where the lotteries in this country are right now.
Geez, Cal, that's pretty grim. What's he talking about there? What's the lottery so concerned about?
Well, one big concern is that Massachusetts will legalize sports betting. The fear is that some of the money spent on scratch tickets today will go toward wagers on the Patriots or Red Sox tomorrow. Recall that a landmark Supreme Court ruling last year opened the door for more states to legalize sports betting, and few companies are more excited about that than Boston's DraftKings, which started in fantasy sports and is now running sports books for real games wherever it can. DraftKings Games recently signed a deal with the state of New Hampshire, for example, which allows the company to take bets online and in new gambling halls.
But DraftKings still can't take bets here in its home state of Massachusetts. Do you think that might change in 2020?
Well, you know, there's a few sports betting bills on Beacon Hill, including one filed by Governor Charlie Baker. So there is some political momentum there, Bob. But lawmakers haven't hashed out details like whether the bets could be placed online or only in person, whether the state lottery should run its own sports book, and whether to allow betting on college sports. Now, that's a lot left to work out. So even if signs point towards sports betting coming to Massachusetts at some point, the first wagers may not be placed in 2020.
WBUR senior innovation and business reporter Callum Borchers. Thanks a lot, Cal.
Glad to be with you, Bob.